So all of you out there listening to me who stood up in the last 4 years and said, this is wrong. Something is very wrong here. It feels wrong down in the core of my being, in my soul. I am screaming out at the uncanny valley nightmare that I feel like I'm walking into. And you stood up and you said, I'm not doing this. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not doing it. You know who you are if you're listening to this. Yeah, you. I'm talking directly to you right now. This future that's coming up, that's trying to be imposed, you're going to have to do that a lot more. You know, I think one of the most disturbing things about this reality is that people keep acting like everything's normal.
Welcome to our latest web application, Father Justin. Like most technology, artificial intelligence can be used for good or bad. And this project has allowed us to dip our toes into the wonderful world of AI.
Father Justin is an AI priest built by a Catholic charity, but he had to be removed after his actions. He began taking confessions like a real priest and suggested a baby could be baptized in Gatorade.
It's got electrolytes.
Or they try to pretend like it's normal.
Wearable devices. So these are brain sensors that are starting to be embedded in everyday devices.
How straight up dystopian everything is becoming.
Please do your part to protect our country. Go today and don't delay.
And
the Prime Minister's office in the UK is testing software to predict if someone will become a killer later in life.
Look at me. Positive for Howard Marks.
It's a modern day version of the movie Minority Report, where technology is used to predict and arrest people before they commit murders.
We're just going to keep pretending like it's not, but it really, really is. I mean, they're dressing up the Boston Dynamics robot dogs that are being used to police streets. Like it's going to make it cuter, you know? Like if we put a furry suit on a Terminator, that would somehow make the reception of it better for everyone. Even things that are supposed to or could be cool, like the image of certain futures, space being one of them, the whole concept of going to space, it's being turned now into a cringy Idiocracy meets Real Housewives reality TV show. They're sending Katy Perry up there. She's talking about how they're putting the ass in astronaut.
We bring you the latest group of A-listers who have decided that Earth just isn't VIP enough. Because why settle for a Met Gala invite when you can RSVP to the cosmos?
It's like they just don't want us to have anything good. That's what it feels like. A repetitive undercurrent of just being told over and over and over that we can't have nice things and that we don't deserve them.
Not real.
Is any of it real?
On that note, what exactly is the seemingly pathological obsession with getting humans to eat things that most of us know deep down aren't actually food? I'm not going to pretend like I understand it. And just tossing the word evil over it seems too vague to really explain the phenomena.
Eat.
I'm not hungry.
You know, people don't eat rocks, for example. At least not usually. There's actually a disorder for when people eat non-food items like dirt. It's called pica. Although at this point, eating dirt might actually be better for you than some of the things that are being promoted as food. I mean, other than that one kid back in elementary school who used to charge people a nickel to eat bugs, do you guys have that kid? We had that kid. We had that kid in fifth grade. I think it was actually a dime, and he would eat spiders off the windowsill because they would always come in and make webs there. And he would eat those. If you gave him 10 cents, and I didn't give him 10 cents. I'm just saying kids are weird, and I guess he really wanted that dime. I don't know. But regardless of that, I don't think there's people just lining up around the block to drink cockroach milk.
Scientists say they have discovered the next superfood and dairy alternative. Cockroach milk. You heard me right. Milk from a cockroach. I don't know if I'm buying into this one.
I mean, is that a thing? Is anybody anywhere? I mean, who anywhere, literally anywhere, went, you know what would be really good? Cockroach milk. No one said that. I'm sorry they didn't. Okay. And I refuse to believe they did. And anyone who wants to make me believe that is like, you want me to lose all faith in humanity altogether? Because I just cannot believe that's a thing that actually was said by anyone. This is being promoted, by the way, as the next new superfood. And even the news reporters who are paid to smile and do that news cadence and talk about these things, they can't even bring themselves to report on it with a straight face.
While companies are trying to convince the public that it is a nature-friendly, nutritious, lactose-free option, it may take some time for them to get over the fact it's still cockroach milk. To get over the fact it's still cockroach milk.
Just the phrase cockroach milk inspires visions of roaches being, you know, trapped and forced into some sort of mechanical milking apparatus, a picture of which would fit nicely in an illustrated dictionary under various terms other than just dystopian. I mean, we could go with torture or nightmare fuel. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but cockroaches don't have boobies. Okay, they just don't. So I feel like it's sad I even have to say that, but it's not a thing. That's not a thing. Although, at this point, I'm sure some disconnected, apathetic scientist will probably modify one just to have boobies, because that's the level we're at. Just because he can do it.
It's alive!
Yeah, but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
Now I know what it feels like to be gone!
Nikola Tesla warned us that we may live to see man-made horrors beyond our comprehension, although at this point, that quote is disputed, just like every other quote in history is disputed. But obviously, we need more warnings about the man-made horrors that we comprehend perfectly well that are happening right now, because some people can't seem to help themselves but to produce more and more of these horrors and unleash them on us all. And it isn't just trying to normalize eating bugs to save the earth, okay? I live in a small town that's at least an hour away from a big town, and that means that Walmart is one of the only things that's open after 9 p.m. around here. Because, you know, COVID happened, but nothing changed after it in terms of that kind of stuff. There is no overnight life anymore. It's just been murdered out of humanity altogether. But going to Walmart recently felt like going to a Mega Mart. There was no appreciable difference. And if you don't know what a Mega Mart is, it's an immersive interactive art installation in Las Vegas that looks like a grocery store when you first look at it. Till you look a little closer and you realize it's just one big metaphor for our reality and everything that's wrong and horrible about it, but also everything that's amazing and beautiful about it. But you're met with the horrors up front.
Food texture substitute, tactfully packaged fiber pieces, certified nutrition free.
Oh, those. Walmart might as well be Omega Mart now. There's really just very little, if any, appreciable difference left. That's the level we're at. And it's getting harder to know what to eat anymore.
Right. Look how full of psychic data, waves and radiation. All the letters and numbers are here, all the colors of the spectrum, all the voices and sounds, all the code words and ceremonial phrases.
I'm going to throw this picture up here of a food pyramid that Aaron and our son drew on the grocery list board on our fridge. I don't know. Maybe I'm misremembering or remembering it with my child mind. But the grocery store felt safer once upon a time, like a place of going to get energy and be filled, right? Now it's kind of like a haunted amusement park freak show attraction of the grotesque that most of us are not in a position to avoid, or else we would.
Psychological warfare in the form of advertising. Mind-altering chemicals in the form of food.
I know people who advise to just skip all the middle aisles completely because of what's in there. To guard against the web of spells attempted to be cast on you on the labels and packages these days. I mean, they're selling liquefied foods now that one of the whole things that makes those foods enjoyable in the first place is the fact that they're not liquids and that you get to combine different textures together in your mouth when you take a bite of them. And they're turning them into soup. Ew.
The all-new megalomaniacal burger. We start with a tender bed of arugula. Then we pile on a pound and a half of beef.
But that's not all. Then we pile on a pork chop, a chicken breast, and a baby pig foot.
The product Soylent becoming a product called Soylent was really a marker on the road to the food dystopia that we're living in. I mean, did the film Soylent Green, which, spoiler alert, Soylent Green is people and people are eating people.
You gotta tell them Soylent Green is people!
I mean, did that really ever inspire hunger in any of the viewers that watched it? Did anyone watch Soylent Green and go, you know what would be a really good idea? Who would, you know, liquefied cannibalism references just sound so delicious. Let me just go right out and get started on that. I mean, screw that. Let's just have food that's a barcode, just a generic white package with a barcode on it. We're not even going to put names or anything. We're just going to put a barcode. You're just a barcode and you can drink a barcode. That's
12 strips of bacon. You got it. Then we pile on crumbles of blue cheese, ranch dressing, Swiss, cheddar, and provolone.
Then we pile on 18-ounce Super Oyster.
And now it's to the point that they're just making stuff completely up in labs and slapping the word unreal in the name of it. I present to you all unreal milk. Unreal is defined in my oldest 19th century dictionary as unsubstantial, which means lacking in matter or substance, and fanciful, which means guided by fancy rather than reason and experience and not consistent with facts or reason. So it's unreal milk. And the website actually shows us cartoons of crying cows and talks about the days and months spent in a lab growing cultures of cells which aren't crying. In fact, the cells are specifically described in direct contradistinction as happy, just like the smiling white lab coat clad scientists all smiling at a glass of what we can assume is unreal milk, with the Stanford and MIT connected people talking about how they finally succeeded in, quote, creating real whole milk in a lab, end quote, which is a bunch of words that when you put them together in that order don't really make any sense at all. And I just, you tell me what the difference is between that and this Omega Mart commercial. Omega
Mart. This week at Omega Mart, save on gestating mammal liquid, just $4.75. Gestating mammal liquid toast paint, only $5.99. Gestating mammal liquid with added bacteria, now 2 for $10. That's good news for my brittle bones. That's Omega Mart. Oh, 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 oh.
I think you want some Americanized beef.
Americanized beef? Wow.
While we're facing the deployment of completely synthetic foods that are uncanny in their attempt to simulate real foods, we're simultaneously facing a wider problem of overall declining nutrition. This abstract for an academic paper listed on PubMed here by authors in India warns about a, quote, alarming decline in nutritional quality of foods over the past 60 years. According to the authors, it's been a long-term trend since at least the Green Revolution of more and more planting of high-yield varieties of staple crops instead of the more nutrient-dense varieties people have traditionally eaten up until relatively recently. Chemical farming, pesticides, large-scale agriculture, GMOs are creating more and more unreal foods in the sense that they look like the same food staples, but they're more and more empty calories. They have a high yield, they feed people, they puff into food, but the nutrition's gone. They write, since ancient times, nutrient-intense crops such as millets, conventional fruits, and vegetables have been broadly grown and are the most important staple food, but the area dedicated to these crops has been declining steadily over the past few decades and hastily after the Green Revolution era due to their poorer economic competitiveness with major commodities such as high-yielding varieties of potato, tomato, maize, wheat, and rice. You know, in the U.S., it's corn and soy all the way, and then everything you see on the shelves, whatever it looks like, whatever it's supposed to taste like, it's pretty much made out of these bases, which they fill the amount, but the nutrition's missing. So people are eating empty calories. They're not getting the nutrition. So that's fake food, too. It's just not quite as uncanny and quite as eerie as some of the stuff they're pushing on the market that obviously no one wants. They're just, they must be trying to acclimate people.
Uh-oh.
We return you now to your regularly scheduled program.
And in fact, if you study a lot of cultural history, cultures the world over, even in the West, that are supposedly demystified by science in the modern era, still participated in rituals surrounding the production of food at all stages. And there's a lot of places. England still has harvest festivals every year. And people still pray over the dinner table. So coming together and sharing food is still considered pretty important, even at a spiritual level, even now. Because you're supposed to be nourishing yourself. It's supposed to be a pretty important aspect of life. You are what you eat. Isn't that what we used to say? When you hear the words partially hydrogenated soybean oil, does that make you hungry? How about anti-caking agents? Calcium sterile lactylate.
That sounds like rocks and milk.
Do you care if I ask you guys a question about this bread?
That lady did the fake checking her watch thing so that she wouldn't have to talk to me. She didn't have a watch. It was funny. I think it's about time we had a daily allowance for propylene glycol. I just need to know how much of it I should have every day. It's important. I forgot what TBHQ is. It's tetrabutylene hydroquinone or something. Yeah, we're trying to figure out what to eat in this country. Because there's like 55 ingredients on here. I don't even know what half of them are. Juxtapose that to a system which seems like it's pushing us not being able to really enjoy anything anymore, especially not food, not without feeling either guilty about the environment or hurting the planet or something like that.
Prince Charles, who is, of course, the heir to the throne, the man who is likely to become the next king of this great nation of ours, was wandering around a sort of design centre the other day and decided that he quite liked this idea of putting a mask on a cow.
Well, I think cows emit methane from both ends, actually. I mean, most of it does come out of the front end burping rather than farting. But I know my first reaction when I saw that was feel rather sorry for the cow, actually.
Yes.
Animals don't tend to like wearing stuff on their faces if they can help it. And I should think the first thing that they're going to do is try and scrape that thing off on a fence post.
Right.
And,
or feeling anxiety because of what might be in the food. But either way, negative feelings, right? So it's like if you eat, there's supposed to be all these negative feelings with it. Tell me that's not dystopian. I mean, I could go off on a whole nother tangent about how your thoughts are electrochemical, you have neurons in your stomach, and what do you think happens to you in the way of nourishment if every time you eat, there's some kind of negative emotion attached to it? It reminds me of that scene in Like Water for Chocolate where Tita cries over the wedding cake because she's preparing her, the man she's in love with is going to marry her sister, and she ends up making their wedding cake, and she cries into the batter. And then all the guests at the wedding eat the cake and they all wind up completely overwhelmed with sadness due to the intense emotions that have been infused into the cake. But we have science now, right? We have science. We don't believe in any of that superstitious marmagarm. So instead, we're just going to eat boobless cockroach milk or Unreal Happy Culture lab milk or liquefied goop in a bag with what look like AI food logos plastered all over it or generic barcode liquid or Soylent Green or...
The secret of Soylent Green.
Soylent Green is people!
Find out why Soylent Green means life.
Hey, I mean, the Hollywood system's even trying its damnedest to make cannibalism seem cool, too, so...
This is the ultimate burger.
We guarantee you it's nothing like anything you've ever had. You only live stupid once.
Do you care if it's filled with pesticides, GMO, and cause diabetes the minute it hits your throat?
No.
Why? Because we pay a tarted up, barely legal supermodel dressed in butt shorts to rub up against it in a car wash.
Who cares? You're gonna die someday anyway.
You only live stupid once, so eat it.
But let's be honest, the whole eat the bugs thing. Eat the bugs.
You will eat the bugs.
It might as well be the new eat. It really does speak more not to just how little is thought of humans in the 21st century, but how little we're supposed to think of ourselves as compared with practically anything else. I mean, I don't believe for a second and a half, that the people involved in this kind of stuff are really sitting over here patting themselves on the back for being buzzwords like sustainable, or that they really think they're saving the planet with this. Although there does seem to be a distinct push to separate us from the concept of being part of the planet altogether. So all of you out there listening to me who stood up in the last 4 years and said, this is wrong. Something is very wrong here. It feels wrong down in the core of my being, in my soul. I am screaming out at the uncanny valley nightmare that I feel like I'm walking into. And you stood up and you said, I'm not doing this. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not doing it. You know who you are if you're listening to this. Because I've got people that write me still to this day and say, it was listening to you during COVID that was like a voice in the dark that let me know I was not alone. I was not crazy. Yeah, you. I'm talking directly to you right now, okay? I know that was an uncomfortable feeling. I know how uncomfortable it felt to have to do that. I've been the person who does that my whole entire life. It's always been uncomfortable. I am now been on this planet for 4 decades and I'm not used to it. I'm not used to it. Okay. So if I was going to get used to that feeling, I'd have been used to it by now. I'm still not. But this future that's coming up, that's trying to be imposed, you're going to have to do that a lot more. It's not going to just be the once. That was just getting you ready. That was just like an introductory course into you realizing how powerful it is for you to withhold legitimacy from a system, to withhold legitimacy from something that does not deserve it, from recognizing what your boundaries are as a sovereign being. And I feel like I shouldn't have to say this because it's so obvious, but I feel like I also do. You don't have to eat shit. So there's a lot more no that's going to have to be said. Coming up here. There's a lot more no that's going to have to be said. And the more that we say it and the more that we say it together, the more things can actually change.
I would like to solve the puzzle.